Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the VR2 on SI podcast. I'm your host, Jack Foster, joined by VR2 on SI writer Matt Ray. We got a recruiting pod here for you today, pretty much a recap of the last few days in which Tennessee has landed some prize prospects, highlighted by offensive lineman Addison Nichols, who committed today, August 2nd. And Matt is going to go into detail on a total of three big names today. But first, Matt, it's been a while since we've had you on the pod, so how have you been?
Man, doing good. It's been busy. Obviously, you know, a lot of commitments rolling around here, but I've been good, and it's good to be back on the podcast.
Yes, sir. Same here. Just doing well. And before we get into it, I want to tell you all of you guys about Acker Travel Company by Dream Vacations. If you're looking to book travel at any time but don't want to do all the work, contact our friends Beth and Price at Acker Travel Company and just let them do the work for you. They're currently sending you a $50 Visa gift card to book with them. I mean, what's there to lose? Give them a call now to find that dream vacation. All right, Matt. So let's start with Caleb Perry, kind of the first of the three who announced his decision to commit to Tennessee. So, you know, he's a 2022 linebacker out of Kentucky, Georgetown to be exact. Just tell us a little bit about Perry and his decision to come to Tennessee.
Well, when you start with Caleb Perry, you see a guy that this happens every camp cycle. He's a guy that, you know, a lot of fans, they don't have time to get familiar with him. They don't have time to follow his recruitment, get to know him, you know, really get excited about him, start looking at, you know, star ratings and things like that. And Caleb Perry's a kid that this staff had a chance to work out, see in person, turned around and got him right back on campus for an official visit at the end of the month, started him out in July with a workout, left with an offer. Back with an official visit, and during those, you know, during that month there, Tennessee really, really pushed for Caleb Perry, and, you know, it paid off, and I said July, and I meant June, but it paid off, and, you know, they were able to propel that into a July commitment for him, and, you know, he's a kid that when you turn on the tape, you know, first 10 plays, he probably lines up in five different positions, wide receiver, running back, safety, linebacker, and then, you know, standing up, coming off the edge. So, you know, it's a guy that can do a lot of different things, seems to fit in as more of a hybrid top linebacker for Tennessee, standing up, coming off the edge at 6'4", 215, 220 right now, has the ability, has the work ethic to add the extra pounds and you know, move down and maybe play with his hand in the dirt a little bit more if he needs to, or stay at that, you know, same size and wreak havoc in space. So he's a guy that's got a lot of value, that was impacted by COVID, that, you know, would probably have a lot more offers if he didn't, or if COVID didn't hit and he had a chance to camp more. But a guy that everywhere he went this summer, he left with an offer and had a lot of programs that, you know, were high on him before his commitment to Tennessee.
Yeah, so, you know, Josh Heupel has obviously done a great job on the recruiting trail and had a red hot July and capped it off Perry, or, you know, one of the cap offs was Perry, of course, but it really goes to show how great Tennessee influenced him, considering the close vicinity of Cincinnati and Kentucky, obviously, from his hometown. So, you know, big land for the balls here. All right. Let's move on to the second one, and Jack Luttrell, defensive back, 2023, the first commit of the 2023 class from Hebron Christian School in Georgia. So just kind of go into depth on this Peach State defensive back.
Yeah, White Lightning, Jack Luttrell, right? So seemed like Jack Luttrell, when he set that visit to get back up there to Tennessee, he wanted to go check one more time just to make sure that this was the place for him. Coach's kid, you know, his dad's the head coach there, Hebron Christian. A kid that had a rather interesting recruitment, camped at the MVP camp of Rusty Manziel and Chad Simmons put on down in Atlanta. They put several of them on. He camped at one of those. Just a couple of days later, a couple of offers start rolling in, and, you know, Jack didn't pick up an offer that wasn't big. Everywhere he went, he came back with an offer, and, you know, he got those verified measurements that, you know, that 40 time verified during that camp on a laser. So school started reaching out and engaging early interest, and I don't think a lot of schools thought that Jack Luttrell would probably commit this early, or he would have probably had more offers on the table and other teams coming in. I still expect that to happen. I still expect teams to come in for him and, you know, at least give him something to think about or try to, you know, make way in his recruitment, because I think a lot of people wanted to see the junior tape. He plays in a smaller division in Georgia, plays in private 1A, but it produces year after year after year. It produces to the Division I level. You see Lanith Whitehead out of Athens Academy come to Tennessee. You see Deion Colsey out of Athens Academy go to Notre Dame. You see Brock Vandegrift, who's a five-star sign with Georgia. It's year after year after year, these guys. The other receiver, I can't think of his name off the top of my head, from Eagles Landing, Christian Elka there, signed with Georgia in the 2021 or 2020 class. Can't remember which one. But this is it's a smaller division, but it produces a lot of talent at the top of it. And Latrell's another one of those guys. He's going to play, at a high level. He's going to be the best player on the field a lot of nights, and you're going to see other teams come in for his commitment. But in talking with Jack before he committed, it was just the family feel. He came to Tennessee and, he had to kind of convince his mom a little bit that, this is where he needed to be. They had the conversation before they went up there, and she decided, during the trip, like, hey, this is where you need to be. So family has some ties to the area. Both parents attended Carson Newman. That's something I talked to him about back when Tennessee originally offered. So this is the kid that's going to kick off and lead the 2023 class, has connections, is another, Georgia kid. And I know people probably get sick of me harping on Georgia, but the state's so rich in talent. There's so many places you can go and find talent when you look around Georgia at different positions. And when Tennessee is the team that is playing well, they have been able to go into Georgia and win recruiting battles, time and time again. And that's something that they have to do. And to beat out Texas A&M, Notre Dame, Arkansas, Georgia Tech for Jack Latrell, it's another big win. It's a great way to kick off the 2023 class and get momentum rolling. And it's definitely a building block for the future for Josh Heupel and company, as they're red hot right now.
Yeah, and you mentioned in your impact report for Latrell that he is a key piece in pure recruiting the Georgia for the Vols. So just, you mentioned his connections. Kind of go into more depth about that, just how massive it is for him to have those connections.
Well, yeah, obviously that's something that you want to have. You hear all the time, me and so-and-so are going to play together at the college level. Well, you start hearing that guys in their junior year, they meet guys on the camp circuit. It doesn't always happen. There's not a lot of package deals, but it helps to have somebody in your camp that does have a close connection with guys like that. Listen, USC, they've came into Georgia and they've made an impact on this recruiting cycle. They, even though they were not in the public top three, they were the school that Tennessee had to beat out for Addison Nichols. At the end of the day, USC was a program they had to beat out. And that in Georgia right now, they have Michael Williams committed, who's a five-star. They are probably in the lead for a guy like Kristen Miller. And USC's using that. You're out on the West Coast and you're having Michael Williams peer recruit Kristen Miller, peer recruit these other guys. And that's kind of how it goes. Jack Latrell, if he's committed to Tennessee headed into the fall, which obviously we're here. So he's going to come up for games. His dad's a head coach. He knows people. He's going to get people up with him. They're going to be riding up. They're going to be taking trips together to Tennessee. It just opens the door to getting guys on campus more with him, guys that want to hang out with him, spend some time with him, and, have a chance to see what Tennessee's about. And in recruiting, that's the name of the game. It's being able to get your foot in the door and somehow having it there when the door is ready to start to close. So you can't understate. Yes, he's a 2023 guy. Yes, there's a long way to go. But to have Jack Latrell committed to kicking off and leading the 2023 class, big for Tennessee, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. And, like you just said at the end, him being the first commit of the 2023 class will definitely help other kids, see how he committed and, get to know him better in that way. But let's move on to the biggest name of the three, obviously, Addison Nichols. Huge get for the Vols that committed today on August 2nd, like I mentioned earlier. another Peach State star. So I know you've gotten to know Addison really well. You think highly of the kid. So just kind of go into detail about Addison Nichols and his commitment.
Yeah, so, I mean, let's start off the field with Addison Nichols. You know, if you didn't read the piece that I put out today on Addison Nichols, you know, offering people a chance to get to know him. First, I'll tell you this, and I tweeted about there's so much more to know about Addison Nichols. You know, we touched on him being a second-degree black belt in Taekwondo, an assistant to the manager at Kroger, you know, a part-time job that he's doing, and being an Eagle Scout. Just three big accomplishments for him, you know, that he felt like probably most for the next time management, different skills, the ability to persevere through stuff and understand different things. So we kind of touched with, you know, the Kroger job, you know, understanding how to balance money. The NIL is the future. It's one of the reasons he picked Tennessee, is the belief that, you know, that the name, image, likeness benefits that he's, you know, going to be able to encounter when he gets there are going to be, you know, worth the commitment to Tennessee. So he feels like he knows how to manage money, manage time. The Taekwondo's ability to react quicker, get his hands in the right place. You know, he does that stuff, that thing. Those are the type of things that we talked about. We're just talking about a guy who delivers food baskets to the elderly during, you know, the winter, and goes out and does so much inside of his community and for his school, others around, honor student in the beta club. Just there's so much to know about Addison Nichols just off the field before you come over to the fact that he's one of the most highly sought after offensive linemen in the country. You know, if you watch the CBS Sports HQ live commitment today, I think Rusty touched on it a little bit. He could have called any of these schools on the list today and they would have taken him this morning happily. Georgia, USC, Ohio State, North Carolina, Tennessee. He could have called any of those schools this morning and committed. And I think for him as a player, that speaks volume, you know, speaks volumes to what he brings. Where's he going to fit in? Where's he going to fit at Tennessee? Is he going to be a right tackle? Is he going to be a mauler guard? He can kind of do it all. He's got really good hand placement. He's worked to improve his feet. A kid I've been covering since he was a sophomore in high school, and he's only improved every time I've seen him. Feel like he gets better at something every time I see him. He's continued to improve his frame, and that's the first thing I saw. That's the first thing I told him when I saw him down at GAC a couple of weeks ago when we were doing his commitment story. We were working on, you know, that get to know you piece and that type of stuff. When we were doing that, when he came up, the first thing I told him, I said, man, you look better than the last time I saw you. He continues to fill out. He's getting bigger. He's, you know, he's trim in the right places. He looks like a monster, to be honest with you. He's continued to grow, and it's amazing to take a kid, you know, from seeing him in the first time in his sophomore season, at the end of his sophomore season, up to the start of his senior season here. He has really put in the work to get where he needs to be. He'll be the first to tell you he's been out of shape at times. He's, you know, needed to push through things. And, you know, it's a kind of a culmination of everything that Addison Nichols is. But, you know, just a good, good kid and a good football player that's excited about the future on Rocky Top, and is a kid that, you talk about what Jack Luttrell is for the 2023 class, and it's not to understate Jack Luttrell, but Addison Nichols is that on steroids for the 2022 class. Just a marquee recruiting victory. You go into Georgia, you beat out Georgia, you beat out Ohio State, you beat out North Carolina, you beat out USC, you beat out, you know, all these other programs that would have taken Addison Nichols. And yeah, Tennessee had the connections, but if you read our commitment story with him, he'll tell you first thing, that wasn't what it came down to. It didn't come down to doing it to make his grandparents happy, who live, you know, pretty much right next door to the stadium. It didn't come down to that. It came down to where was the best fit for Addison Nichols. And that's the way he approached his recruitment from the very first time I met him. When I talked to him when he was a sophomore, he was talking about which school could set him up for what he wanted to do, how he wanted to do it from a business standpoint, and he stayed on that track. And, you know, it was really good to just see him have his moment today. I talked to him on Saturday night and told him, you know, I'm not going to bother you anymore over the weekend or anything like that. I said, just want you to know, excited to see you have your moment. And you know, we kind of touched base on that a little bit. And it was nice to see Addison get to have his moment, pick a school and enjoy it. But just a huge building block for Tennessee's class. When you look back at this class, every year we put out a superlative piece and have for the last 4 or 5 years here. But every year we put out a superlative piece. And, you know, if Addison Nichols signs to come to Tennessee in December, there's, you know, it's pretty much no doubt that he's going to be the cornerstone piece of this class for the Vols. So much to sell with him, such a huge building block, such a step in the right direction for where Tennessee wants to take their offensive line. And, you know, this is just a big commitment for Tennessee and Josh Heupel, the biggest to date, in my opinion. And I felt very highly of them landing, you know, Taven Jackson. I think that's a big piece. But when you look at the quarterback room and when you look at, you know, everything else, Jackson doesn't have to come in and be a guy right away necessarily. You know, Cam Miller is another guy. I think that's a big in-state recruiting win. You had other programs that wanted him. You had other programs that courted him during the time. He's a guy that's just so respected among his peers. But Addison Nichols is just, for me, and I've voiced my opinion over at Sports Illustrated All-American, and our top 99 rankings come out later this week, and we'll see officially where Walter Nolan falls. And I think he is the number one player in the country, and I've not been quiet about that. But if Tennessee was able to land even a guy like Walter Nolan later down the line, and what's looking like more likely back to a December decision timeline for him, you know, again, Addison Nichols is, and don't get me wrong, you land a guy like Walter Nolan, top five guy in the country, it's huge. But for when Addison Nichols committed, what the Vols are going to try to do, you can't undervalue him in this class. And he's just a guy that's going to mean, when you look back, he's going to mean a ton to the Tennessee 2022 recruiting class and to the program that Josh Heupel's trying to build. And, you know, you hear Josh Heupel talk about how he has to flip the culture, how he has to, you know, how he's had to see guys buy in, how these guys have bought in. You hear these guys talk about the culture change. You change your culture when you bring a guy in like Addison Nichols. He's going to do things the right way. He's that guy that's going to go the extra mile. He's going to, you know, encourage the guys around him. He leads by example. And, you know, this is just a big win in so many ways for Tennessee to be able to pull a guy like Addison Nichols when, I'll be honest with you, 6 months ago, maybe a little longer than that, before Josh Heupel was hired, the Vols weren't in the race. I mean, they recruited and had some conversation with Addison Nichols, but just the way the previous staff handled that, the Vols weren't in the race. They were fading and fading fast. And, you know, credit Glenn Ellerby, credit Josh Heupel. They put an all out effort into getting Addison Nichols, and it paid off. So a big win and a big step forward for this Tennessee staff on the recruiting trail.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, you know, reading your get to know you piece, he seems like an incredible guy, and, you know, the rapport he's going to build with teammates is just going to be really something special to keep an eye on. So would you say that Addison Nichols is slam dunk, the biggest get the Vols have had for the 2022 class?
No doubt.
Awesome. Love to hear.
Maybe, I mean, listen, again, can't understate a guy like Walter Nolan being on the board. The
right,
Vols
yeah.
Vols are deep in that recruitment, and, you know, they're going to battle there until the end. They'll be the first to tell you that there's a long way to go in that recruitment. I don't care what any predictions say. I don't care where anything is right now. To me, a lot of those predictions are knee-jerk because people just found out that Walter Nolan was coming to Powell. I think everybody expected Walter Nolan to go to IMG, and that hadn't been the case for, you know, a little while. And then it started started to leak out that, you know, that they were coming to East Tennessee. We had reported for a little while that, you know, that that possibility was being weighed heavily, and it was. It was just, you know, pending, you know, a few different things. But you can't understate a guy like Walter Nolan being on the board. But listen, for me, I just feel like Addison Nichols is, at the end of the day, right now, the biggest recruiting win in the class for Tennessee, the most important target on the board at the time. And, you know, Walter Nolan's a heavyweight battle that could go any different direction. Texas A&M got a visit this weekend. Wouldn't rule LSU out of getting a visit at some point. The family travels. They're going to travel. They're going to take visits. Florida's still deep in it. You know, sources in that recruitment still tell me to watch out for Michigan. They had a tremendous visit up to Ann Arbor. You know, Jim Harbaugh and company have made them feel wanted. His best friend, Cody Jones, is committed there. So, you know, listen, there's a lot of moving pieces, you know, in that recruitment, and it's going to go a long ways. But it just right now for me, at the time, Addison Nichols is the most important target. I'm going to say Addison Nichols is the most valuable target on the board to Tennessee. Walter Nolan is, you know, he changes the face of your defense. It's probably 50-50, but there's a long way to go in one, and you just landed the other. And to me, I think Addison Nichols has been the most important target on Tennessee's board for a little while. And, you know, I think Walter Nolan's a top player in the country, and you can't understate that, but you have to get guys like Addison Nichols in your program if you're Tennessee.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You hit the nail on the head. And just kind of touching on Walter Nolan before we hop off here, would you be surprised if Tennessee ultimately landed him?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee landed Walter Nolan. You know, listen, this is – I talked to him again this weekend. I've talked to his dad recently. You know, the deal with Tennessee – is Tennessee's made Walter Nolan feel like they've made Walter Nolan feel like it's more about the entire Nolan family than it is just about Walter Nolan. And that's something that means a lot to Walter Nolan. You're talking about a kid who doesn't talk a whole lot. He's not on social media. He doesn't retweet articles about himself. He retweets articles about his friend. You see him. He's quiet. He's shy. You know, he doesn't really speak unless spoken to. But he's a kid that at the end of the day has been overwhelmed by the recruiting process before. He's told me that, you know, he's been overwhelmed, that he's had to just kind of lay his phone aside and let it go. I talked to him about a week after the contact period opened for juniors last year, or the recruiting period opened for juniors last year, where college coaches could start texting them. And Walter's phone didn't stop buzzing from the text messages coming in from recruiting staffers, head coaches, assistant coaches, you name it, from every school in the country. It started at midnight when coaches were allowed, and it kept going until 6 o'clock. you know, wow. Again, a guy that's just top player in the country, in my opinion, and is, you know, going to be a top 10 player regardless of where he lands. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Tennessee land Walter Nolan. It's a heavyweight battle. It's back and forth. The Vols have been out of the battle, you know, publicly, and they didn't make his top eight. They appeared, you know, to be losing traction. He told me at the time, we broke his top eight down about a week before he publicly released it. And Georgia hadn't made the top 10 a couple of months before. They surged on to the top eight. Then Tennessee, Clemson, and Auburn fall out of the top eight. And now the Vols are back in the public top five. You know, he has a good relationship with Rodney Garner. He is intrigued by the way that Garner puts guys in the league, the way that Garner's handled the recruitment, just, you know, steady across the board, not not pressing him, not doing a whole lot, just steady contact, relating to Walter. And listen, Ronnie Garner's won these recruitments before. He pulled Derrick Brown out of Georgia over to Auburn. He's won these types of recruitments before numerous times. I mean, you know, so it's you know, most recently it was Jay Hardy, out of McCauley. Everybody thought he was a Tennessee lock, myself included. I know several other guys that had done a commitment piece with Jay Hardy coming to Tennessee, and Rodney Garner, you know, comes in at the midnight hour and, you know, sweeps him away and had laid low in that recruitment the whole time. And I said, at the time of, you know, Walter Nolan cutting Tennessee out of the top eight, I said, it's probably the best thing that can happen for Tennessee because it makes it feel like a Rodney Garner recruitment. He's not in it. And then all of a sudden he's been in it all along and allows him to continue to do his thing. And for me, I think it took a lot of, I think a lot of schools continue to, and I think a lot of schools at the time, because it was so fresh in everybody's mind with the NCAA violations that Tennessee had going on. I think it was so easy and that cut was so fresh that teams could negatively recruit Tennessee so easily that it just, you know, it was too much to overcome. So when you're hearing from every other school that, you know, you're talking to, oh, you know, this and this about Tennessee, well, when they're not on your public list, that goes to the back of schools' minds. Okay, well, they're out of the picture. You know, this kid's elite. He's going to move on past that. He's not going to think about it. And now Ronnie Garner has had a chance to get Walter Nolan over to campus multiple times when recruiting has opened back up here, and answer the questions and show him the different things that, you know, he wasn't able to show him when there was a dead period going. So now the Vols are fully entrenched in this recruitment, but, you know, so are so many other schools. Again, Michigan, Georgia, Alabama. And again, Alabama's laying very low in this recruitment. I don't think anybody's really talking about the Crimson Tide, but you better not forget about them.
Yeah.
You know, Florida was viewed to be the leader at one point. With a kid like Walter Nolan, you're going to see so much reactionary stuff. I bet right now if he was going to release a top school, it would be a top six and Texas A&M would be in it. I mean, that's kind of my thoughts. I know that visit went well out there. I know that he enjoyed what they showed him. He spent multiple days. You know, I don't think there's going to be another list cut from Walter Nolan. I don't think there's going to be any additions. I think it's going to be, you know, he might release a top. He might go down to a top two tomorrow for all I know right now. But I don't think that from this point moving forward, as he gets ready to get back on the football field, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of shakeup and what you see on the public eye. But he's going to continue to navigate this process. He's going to continue to listen to schools. He's going to continue to be open, and we'll just see what the decision timeline looks like. It seems right now that it's shifting more toward December, but we'll see where it stands. You know, I'm planning to see him in a few days. It's going to be the first time I've seen him in person in, you know, a couple of months. So I'm planning to see him in a few days and, you know, have a little bit more of an update probably the next time that we're on here.
All right. Well, that sounds good to me. But for this podcast, I think that's going to do it today, Matt. I appreciate you hopping on. And what do you got planned for the rest of the week?
Man, it's football season again. You know, I'm trying to figure out where I'm headed Friday. There's some good scrimmages going on. There's a lot going on. You know, I've started working through my high school schedule and. I think, let's see here. I think there's several places that I need to get, but I'm not 100% sure. So I know for certain that I'm starting off on August 10th, August 12th, August 13th, August 20th, and August 21st. So between those days, and I'm going somewhere Friday, so one game on Friday, the 10th, the 12th, the 13th, the 20th, and then five games on the 21st. So that's 11 games in about an 11-day span. because the 21st is five games at the Corky Kale. So it's wide open. It's wide open. So that's kind of going to be my plan, is gearing up for that. You know, Jake is going to be covering, you know, the team on campus for us. So I'm going to be assisting him, you know, in that. He's going to be covering the team for us this fall. And I'm going to be working more remotely, as I have a few different things going on right now. But, yeah, that's kind of it. So, I think the only.
Yeah, I was going to say, not going to lie, you said, well, it's football season, as soon as you started to answer, and it just sent chills down my spine, like, with excitement. Yeah,
It's here, man.
It's here.
I got up. I got up this morning, and it was like 63 degrees outside, and it kind of felt like a Friday in the fall. It's here, so we're close.
Yeah, man, I'm just so pumped to college football start, NFL football start, just football in general. It's unlike no other, man.
Yeah, no, it's we're here.
That's right. Well, everybody, that's going to wrap up us for this podcast. Be sure to follow VR2 on SI on Twitter and Facebook. You can also follow Matt. He's at Matt Ray SI on the socials, along with me. I'm at Jack Foster TV. We love all of y'all's support, as always, which allows us to do what we love week in and week out, and that is to talk Tennessee sports. Stay tuned for another football pod, hopefully coming tomorrow, actually, talking some positional previews just for the season in total and about fall camp with Jake. Matt, you might hop on tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I think I'll probably hop on tomorrow.
Awesome. So we'll have full crew. I think that'll be the first time ever since I started with you guys, so that'll be a blast.
Yeah, I think it may be the first time we've had a full crew.
Yeah, awesome. Well, everybody, for Matt Ray, I'm Jack Foster, and we'll catch all of you wonderful people next time.